It's actually a great honor for me to introduce our next speaker, Liz Liddell. Liz is the Director of Campus Organizing over at the Secular Student Alliance. And for those of you who aren't SSA members yet, I suspect you will be rushing to sign up after you see Liz's talk. I've actually been on the receiving end of support from the SSA for the past 6 years now, and I really can't overstate how useful and how important their support has been. Liz, I can also tell you how difficult it is to organize and run a single atheist group, so I really have no idea how Liz is capable of keeping track of hundreds of them. She'll actually have to give you the exact numbers because they're increasing just about every week. But if you saw Hemant's talk yesterday, he showed a graph of the growth of Secular Student Alliance affiliates, and they've gone up from about 80 to over 350 affiliates in the past 5 years or so. And I don't think it's a coincidence that that also coincides with the time Liz has spent directing campus organizing with the Secular Student Alliance. I think Liz is really an unsung hero of our movement, or at least not sung enough. If you ask me, she's a national atheist treasure. And when I think about the impact that her activism has had on the movement, all I can think to myself is, thank God she's on our side. Please welcome Liz Liddell.
There's a chair here. In fact, I'm going to move it because I will trip on that. So thank you so much for having me. As Chris said, I don't get to spend a lot of time up here, and the rare occasion that I do get up here, it's usually because I'm teaching you how to do something. And so this is a little bit different for me, and I really appreciate having the opportunity to talk to you about what I do because I do love what I do. And this is what I do. I work with the secular students, and they are unstoppable. And so that's what we're going to have a chat about today. First, I'm going to get a little bit into who we are and who I am. The Secular Student Alliance has been around for 12 years now, and we're a bit of a unique organization. We are the only organization in the United States that is autonomous and specifically focused on supporting secular students. We have a very narrow mission, and that, to be honest, I think that's one of our strengths because we put all of our resources into this one goal. We're a recognized leader in grassroots organizing, not just among students, but also in the off-campus, non-student community. We have partnerships with dozens of national organizations, not only organizations within the movement, like the Secular Coalition for America, the James Randi Educational Foundation, Foundation Beyond Belief, all kinds of national organizations, but also organizations outside of the secular movement. We work closely with the Interfaith Youth Corps, with the ACPA Student Educators International, which is a very long way to say the people who work in your student life department. And similar organizations as a resource on secular students and our demographic. I'm the director of campus organizing behind the curtain, I like to say. I don't spend a lot of time on stage. I'm usually in my office herding all of my cats. And so I don't get out much, would be one way to say it. But I've got a lot of experience in what I'm doing. As Chris said, I've been a full-time campus organizer for about 4 years, and I volunteered with the SSA for about 3 years before that, so I have a little bit of experience. I personally work with leaders from many other organizations in the movement as a resource on grassroots organizing, on secular students, on students in general, and again, with organizations like IFYC and ACPA, helping other communities learn about secular students and how to meet our needs. Yesterday we heard a lot about what the world would be like without secularism. It's a little bit of a scary place. These are political viable candidates in the most powerful country in the world. We let children suffer and die horribly because we think that somehow talking to an imaginary sky god is going to make them better. And then when these things happen, we don't hold their parents accountable. People are tortured and killed in terrible ways for insignificant crimes because that's what the goat herds in the Bronze Age thought we should be doing. It's bad. But we can change this. We can start by educating our communities, building a new culture, providing a secular voice not just in our local communities, but also in our national government. Where's the best place to start doing that? These guys, right here. students. Why students? First, younger people are less likely to believe in God. We have a lot of data on this from the American Religious Identification Survey of 2008, which is sort of the most large-scale religious study that gets done on a regular basis. 15% of the American population as a whole, but 22% of 18 to 29-year-olds. The younger people are less likely to identify with the religion. Phil Ferguson stole this chart from me. But you can see as it goes through generation by generation, people become less attached to religion. Right up there, the millennials, the students who are in school right now. Now, the interesting thing that I love about this chart is that every generation becomes less and less religious, but it doesn't actually change much within a generation. You need a little bit of wiggling in that line. For the most part, it's a straight line, which says that the religious identification that people have when they're in school is the religious identification they're going to have for the rest of their life. Religions know this. This is why they put hundreds of millions of dollars into campus outreach programs and youth groups, because they know that you have to get them while they're young. There's a couple other good reasons. Oh, it's 26% right there. Look at that. I know numbers. Couple other reasons why students are a good place to start. Students have awesome ideas. We couldn't do half of what we do at the Secular Student Alliance if it weren't for the ideas that the students we work with come up with. Students are operating in an environment where they are under less influence from their parents. Their parents are able to exert a little less control because as you go to college, you move out of the house. You have a little bit more freedom. Students have access to funding and space through their campus. This room is available because AHA has access to this campus space. For an off-campus group, getting space like this would be hundreds of dollars. And we hear this all the time, and we're a little sick of it, but students are the future. They're not going to stay in school forever, at least very few of you are. Some of you are going to go get PhDs, and I'm sorry for you. But the vast majority of students are going to go on. They're going to become things like doctors, politicians, CEOs, pop culture icons. They're going to take these values they have gained as students, and they're going to take them through the rest of their lives, where they're going to influence their coworkers, their subordinates, the people they teach, their families, their communities. They're out there, and they're going to take these values with them. We have a couple obstacles that we work with organizing secular students. The big one is the stigma attached to non-theists. I think we're all familiar with this, but you get a lot of pushback. We see it a lot in our groups of the South. Even though we may not get administrative resistance, we get social resistance. A group might apply for funding from the student government, and the student government may say, we don't like that, we're not going to fund that project. Flyers are torn down and vandalized. Chalkings are scrubbed off the sidewalks. You hold an Ask an Atheist table, and people come up and scream at you. You know, there's a lot of stigma there, and it kind of takes some balls to overcome that sometimes. We do get resistant administrations, particularly at the high school level. At Melbourne High School in Florida, a student named Jade wanted to start a group. Her administration told her no. Jade found 65 students in her high school plus a teacher to sponsor the group. And the administrator said no. Then the administrator went to the teacher and said, hey, this was a really bad career move. You should reconsider. We were able to step in and say, hey, that thing you just did, that's really illegal. You should stop. And so Jade's group is now an affiliate of the Secular Student Alliance. But this is something that happens way too often at the high school level. It's very common. Students have limited resources. How many students have, you know, over $100,000 in their checking account? Yeah, none of you. Me either, for what it's worth. And a lot of students don't have mobility. It's hard to get off campus. A lot of students don't have cars. If they do have cars, very often they're beaters, and they're not going to make it 10 miles out of town. And so that's a factor in a lot of decisions. Students face high turnover. We like to say we're organizing at a bus stop. Because, you know, 4 to 5 years in college, say your first year you're still figuring stuff out, the second year you start to get involved with this group, maybe you run for an officership the third year, you're a junior, okay, you've got 1 to 2 years to serve as an officer, and then you're gone, and we have to start all over. Geographic isolation. Sometimes colleges are in the middle of nowhere. In fact, a lot of time colleges are in the middle of nowhere, and so a student group at a university might be the only secular group for 100 miles or more, especially when you get into places like Montana, the Dakotas, Wyoming. There's a lot of empty space out there. And then attrition. This is the polite way we have of saying the groups that don't make it, which has historically been upwards of 10% every semester. So say the Secular Student Alliance had 300 groups last semester, we would expect to lose about 30 of them. And this is just because of that high leadership turnover, student turnover. You guys have other things you're doing. You've got projects, finals, classes, study abroad. Things that life is complicated, and so attrition happens quite a bit. Summer break actually is a big factor in attrition. But despite all of these things, we're doing really, really well. Take a look at this graph. You saw this in bar chart form the other day, but this charts our growth as far back as I have data with the Secular Student Alliance, so about 10 years, from fall of 2003 when we had 43 affiliated campus groups, till today where the number is about 365. I'll get to why that's an about in just a minute, because usually I can tell you exactly. Not only are we growing in general, but we're seeing an increased demand in high school groups. We're seeing an increased demand in group reach. That's the number of people that our groups are reaching out to. So not only do our groups have more paid members, they have more people showing up to events, they have more people in their Facebook groups, they have larger email contact lists, and just going, you know, up and up and up over the last 4 years. To compensate for this, we've had to hire a lot of staff, which has been a terrifyingly sharp growth curve. But because of all of that, we've been able to bring this attrition rate way down. Back in 2004, when I, again, first had data on this, we had almost 20% attrition. It was terrible. And we've been steadily bringing it down. I have preliminary numbers from the audit that we're finishing up right now. That right there shows right about 10%. If everything goes on track, we're going to land somewhere between 8 and 8.5% attrition for this spring, which is actually a broken record and by quite a bit. So I'm very excited because we're doing something right. Another area we've seen a lot of growth is in the demand for the services that the Secular Student Alliance offers. The speaker events that we help organize, hungered around 50 for actually a really long time, 50 events per year, and then just in the past 2 years has skyrocketed. To say nothing of our tabling supplies, which started as an ad hoc service. We signed at about 6 my first year here, and now it's our most popular affiliate service. We're on track to send out over 300 packets of tabling supplies this year. And our group starting packets, which, why is this bigger? Because the group starting packets are for groups that don't exist yet as opposed to the groups that already exist and are affiliated, through the roof. Now, not all of these group starting packets are going to become groups. Traditionally, it's been about 20% of the packets we send out, about 1 in 5 will result in a successful campus group. But that percentage is also increasing. This school year, it looks like we're going to be a lot closer to 30% than the 20-22% that we've seen in the past, and that's pretty awesome. So between the fact that we've sent out over twice as many of those packets, and we're getting more and more of them to turn into groups, means we're seeing this kind of growth. Now, why are we seeing these changes? This is a question I get a lot, and I actually tacked this slide in this morning because turns out I'm going to have time. Around 2006, this guy, you might have heard of him, wrote this book that you might have heard of called God Delusion. The Secular Student Alliance is mentioned in the God Delusion, and that was really a tipping point for us, and for this movement as a whole, I think. It really started to get people aware of non-theism, the whole new atheist movement, and much more attention in the media, in the blogosphere. It started a wave of atheist books, and so really got people thinking, hey, wow, this is an option. I'm not the only one like me. In 2008, I started as the full-time director of campus organizing. And then we started getting media attention. We were mentioned in the New York Times. We were mentioned in USA Today. We had an article in Teaching Tolerance, the magazine of the Southern Poverty Law Center. In the last year, we've added a lot of staff. I actually run a 6-person campus organizing team now, and I have 2 more staff starting at the end of, in about 2 weeks, very soon. And so between all of these factors, we've gotten more interest. The Secular Student Alliance has gotten more visibility, and so we've been able to connect with more students, and we've gotten more staff and more services in place to meet their needs. And so all of these come together to be able to support this kind of growth. Let's talk about what the students are doing. How many of you are presently attending the Freethought Festival hosted by AHA at UW-Madison? You in the blue shirt, you're wrong, because you're here too. This is an event hosted by one of our affiliate groups. We're actually really, really excited to see this kind of thing happening. And we're seeing it all over the place. Skepticon has been going on for 4 years now. They're starting to plan Skepticon 5, a very successful student-hosted event. Darwin Week at the University of Northern Iowa, Reason Fest in Lawrence, Kansas, events like the Skeptics of Oz that Phil mentioned earlier. These events are happening all over the country, and the vast majority of them are being hosted by student groups. That's incredible. Our students are leading interfaith dialogue. I'm going to tell you a little story here. When I was first director of campus organizing, we had a campus group at Iowa State University. And then my second semester, we had a second group start there. It was called ISU Fate. And I said, hey, what's going on? You've got two groups here. And they said, well, the second one is you know, more of a warm, fuzzy group. It's for, you know, talking about different religions and helping people understand things. Well, that group went on to become the Iowa State Interfaith Council. It's become their official interfaith program, started by the Iowa State University Atheists, Agnostics, and Skeptics. The Interfaith Conference, the Illinois Conference on Interfaith Collaboration just happened this past weekend down at Urbana-Champaign. One of the primary organizers of the event is sitting over there and is an outspoken atheist and former leader of the Illini Secular Student Alliance. We work very strongly with the Interfaith Youth Corps, to the point where Eboo Patel, a member of President Obama's Interfaith Council, and the president of IFYC, has personally thanked secular students for changing the way he thinks about interfaith. So if he says it, that's what interfaith is, and we've been able to change that. Our students are very involved in service projects. We're working with the Foundation Beyond Belief and the Leukemia Lymphoma Society to get student groups involved in the Light the Night Walk and fundraising for that project. We've had several groups take week-long service projects down to New Orleans to help rebuild houses after Hurricane Katrina, because even though that's been an increasing number of years ago, there's still a lot of work to be done. And groups participate in smaller projects. We have a group in California that at every meeting knits strips of blankets for the Linus Project, which provides these handmade blankets to kids in need who've been through traumatic situations. Our groups are starting national programs. We've got blogs like the Secular Segment, started by a student at the University of Illinois in Carbondale. We Are Atheism, started by students out in Kansas. Everybody Draw Muhammad Day, which thankfully has not become an annual event, but certainly it was a national event. Largely got the attention it got because a couple of secular student groups grabbed the idea and ran with it. Everybody Ask an Atheist Day, National Ask an Atheist Day, is in its second year now. An idea from the Illini Secular Student Alliance. They came to us for help, and we were able to help them turn it into a national program. We had over 85 groups at the campus level participating. We sent over 3,000 of these stickers that said, Atheist, ask away. And then we have students who are defending the separation of church and state. We all know Jessica Alquist. Harrison Hopkins and Damon Fowler both challenged prayers at their high school graduation ceremonies. Zach Coplin, a high school student in Louisiana, when they passed a really stupid creationism in the schools bill about 2 years ago, Zach has led the appeal efforts ever since. Even though he no longer lives in Louisiana, he's attending college at Rice University in Houston, is still, today, leading appeal efforts in Louisiana to get that bill overturned. At the college level, this is one of the most illegible logos I've had a group give me. But the University of North Carolina at Greensboro group worked with their community to address the city council meetings that had been beginning with a prayer to get that turned into a moment of silence instead. So these student groups are not just working in their schools, on their campuses, but they're reaching out to their communities to make a difference as well. Where do we go next? At the SSA, we've got a high school program that was launched at the beginning of last year. It's been phenomenally successful. There's my high school organizer. And the success of that program has led us to not only continue it, obviously, but actually to look into expanding it. We're talking about efforts to get into homeschool programs and to start expanding into the middle school, elementary school level. So we can see if that's possible and what sort of models we'll need to do it. But the interest is there, and so we're going to see if we can respond to it. We've just started offering free student memberships. Any student enrolled at a college, university, high school, or otherwise school in the United States is eligible to become a member of the Secular Student Alliance. This is a very rapidly growing program. We launched it 6 weeks ago, and we have over 1,200 members already. Regional networks are starting to show up. These have been an interesting phenomenon, where we have dedicated students in a certain geographic area who say, we really ought to be talking to each other more. And so they have started building these networks to facilitate that communication and cooperation between events in a certain area. SECA is the Southeastern Coalition of Atheist Activists. That's close. And the Texas Regional Secular Student Alliance are the two big ones right now. We also have a Colorado Regional Secular Student Alliance and new regions starting in Oklahoma and in a yet-to-be-solidly-defined area of, like, Philadelphia, New Jersey, southern New York. We're still working that one out. But because these independent networks have been so successful, we've actually hired a regional campus organizer to manage this program and to see if this is something that we can replicate all over the country. We launched an alumni program. We're in the middle of launching this program right now so that we can keep the leaders and the students we work with through the Secular Student Alliance involved in the movement after they graduate. So we'll see how that goes. And then advisor resources, developing resources not only for the students that we work with, but for the faculty and staff members who support those groups. At our annual conference this July, we'll be having an advisor track with content specifically geared towards those faculty and staff advisors to help, again, provide support from as many angles as we possibly can. In the long run, our growth chart might look a little bit like this. There's where we are now, and it's probably just going to keep on going up. In 5 years, we're probably going to have over 1,000 groups. I actually have... That's a lot of groups. That's a little bit of a frightening number to me. But the data that I actually have indicates this may be a very, very conservative estimate. There are about 6,000 colleges in the United States between community colleges, four-year institutions, private and public schools. 1,000 groups, 6,000 campuses, to say nothing of the 24,000 public high schools in the United States. This is starting to look like a very, very conservative number. There are about 4,000 registered gay-straight alliance groups at high school and college campuses. This is pretty conservative. We've hired our first regional campus organizers. Our goal with that program, assuming that it is a replicable model and we're able to make the same levels of success happen in other areas, we'd like to get to the point where we have a regional campus organizer for every state, and in some cases break it down even further, have a Chicago regional organizer, have a Southern California and a Northern California organizer, basing organizers in, you know, New York area, DC area, around those major population centers with multiple schools so that we can provide local on-the-ground support to campus groups all over the country. So how do we do all that? Secular Student Alliance is a democratic membership organization, not just for students, but actually for anyone. We rely on individual memberships and donations to make our work possible. We see ourselves not only as an organization to support the work that students are doing, but as a bridge between the wider free thought community and the students. In the last 3 years, our budget has grown exponentially. This is a terrifying budget. Our budget has doubled not only from last year to this year, but from the year before that to the last year. This is the first year we've had a $1 million budget. It is ambitious and terrifying, but we feel that that's where we need to be. We've got a couple of members, Jeff Hawkins and Janet Strauss, who recognize that this is where we need to be, and they have very generously offered a $250,000 matching challenge. Any donations and memberships made to the Secular Student Alliance from now until either the end of the year or we meet that challenge is going to be doubled by these donors. So there's never been a better time for you to become a member and to give us your support. I invite you to come see our table afterwards to come see how you can get involved. That said, let's have a little bit of a comparison here. CRU, formerly known as Campus Crusade for Christ, apparently they decided Crusade was a little rough and that CRU was somehow better. They're our cultural opposition. They're the competition that we're facing. CRU has an annual budget of $500 million. every year. They're putting $500 million towards campus groups. We just hit $1 million budget this year. Crew has three staff members, three paid staff for every single campus group they support. We have about 33 groups per staffer. In the last 3 years, Crew has lost 500 campus groups. We have gained over 200. This is the cultural competition, and the secular students are winning, despite the fact that the Christian right has a unified voting bloc making laws in their favor. They have the majority of the U.S. population to draw from. They have a massively larger budget. Secular students are winning, and they are unstoppable. Thank you. Happy to take questions. I know there's a lot of data up there.
All right, yeah, if you want to come up to the question aisle. And while you do, I have a question for you. Could you talk about the summer conference a little bit?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We hold a leadership conference every summer in Columbus, Ohio, where we're headquartered. This year's conference is going to be our biggest and most awesome yet. It's going to be July 6th through 8th, and you can get information from our website at secularstudents.org. We do a lot of work to keep registration very affordable to students. We have a group rate, we have an advisor rate, we have deeply discounted student rates. Housing is dirt cheap, and if that's still not cheap enough for you, we can help give you money to get there.
So any questions? Anyone? All right. Well, another hand for Liz Liddell.